Morning. It's a delight to have you here all today. And I just learned that I'm doing the welcome and proclamation, so I'm having to check to make sure that there's not something before I start talking. Is there? There is. Okay. Go. I can hear Calvert singing that in my head right now. Back on Telegraph Road. Good morning. It is a delight to see you all here today. And on behalf of the family, Betty and the family, I welcome you here to this celebration of the life of Calvert Upton. It is my privilege and honor to declare to you today that on the basis of the testimony of the Church of the Living Jesus Christ, I can with authority proclaim that our brother, Calvert Upton, has died in the faith. There is no higher human attainment possible in this life, brothers and sisters, than to pass through the journey that our Lord has set before us to walk in his presence and to communicate with our brothers and sisters in his name and to glorify him by our life and by our conversation than that which our brother Calvert has accomplished. He is with the saints, and he is rejoicing and probably singing a Gaither song right now. But the important thing is he has died in the faith. And with that, we are sealed in our hope, both for ourselves as we remember him, but for our brother. So therefore, if you would you please join me in a prayer of invocation as we commence our celebration of this life. Our Lord and God, it is in the presence of death that we realize most significantly and most deeply just how important your grace is. Lord God, we stand here missing our brother, of course, but more than anything else, Lord, we recognize that in this most solemn occasion, we are brought face to face with the reality of the love of Jesus. And Lord God, as we gather here to remember our brother, our first effort and our first desire is to do so in a manner that honors and glorifies you. For that reason, our Lord and God, we invoke your presence here through your Holy Spirit. We ask that you fill us, Lord God, with that tenderness by which he is known as the Holy Comforter, and that as his our comfort, Lord God, he overshadows and governs us and gives us, Lord God, joy even in the midst of an occasional tear. Lord, we pray that your Holy Spirit will be here. We invoke his presence in the name of our blessed Jesus Christ, our blessed Lord Jesus Christ, who died on the cross to purchase our salvation and to purchase us the right to gather in his name. We pray this. Amen. I would ask that you would please stand now as I read the call to worship and followed by the hymn, Because He Lives, another standard Calvert favorite. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. Brothers and sisters, we all owe it all to the fact that our Lord Jesus Christ died on the cross, but he lives. Let's stand and sing.
Thank you.
God's people said, amen. Amen. Please be seated. Thank you, Rich.
Good morning. It's at this time that we'd like to offer the privilege of the family to say a few words if they would like. Is there anyone that would like to speak? Yes, please. Thank you.
Good morning, all. Thank you all for coming. We appreciate that on behalf of the family, all the friends and family here. We appreciate that very much. So this morning, Dad, Duke, Mr. Upton, or in the case of Holly's fifth grade class, Mr. Upton, to not get them confused with me as being Mr. Upton. It's confusing enough. Cal, and of course, last but not least, Calvert. These are all the names that most everyone here has called him over the years. Duke, of course, is the most famous of them all. For those of you who don't know, that was the name that Dad wanted to give me when I was born because of his love for John Wayne and cowboys. Mom put the kibosh on that quite quick. And here I stand before you, Joseph Calvert Upton, also known as J period, not J-A-Y, I also go by Jaybird, or Hey You, or MacGyver, as Mom always calls me, because she seems to think that I can fix anything. But we all know that if you can't fix it with duct tape and zip ties, then you're not using enough. So, however you came to know Dad, or whatever name you called him by, it does not change the man whose life we are here to celebrate. Let's examine these names a little more in depth. Dad, my dad. Karen's dad, Holly and Bob's father-in-law. I was born in 1973. For those of you geniuses out there at math, yes, that means that this coming May, I will be 50. But, Holly turns 51st in February, so it's all good. So, you can give her a hard time for that, and I'm sure I'll get a hard time for that later. Anywho, most of my prominent years were in the 80s. The 80s were great. Great music, great movies, and TV was great. Dad and I shared a great bond over TV shows like The Dukes of Hazzard, Taxi, MASH, and of course, The Cosby Show. Dad loved Bold Sweaters and Ray Charles, and so did Dr. Cliff Huxtable. It made them kindred spirits. A lot of my upbringing was based on The Cosby Show. It was great parenting. It was fair and to the point. Dad used it and used it well. You have to remember, at this point in time, I'm a teenager. I'm all-knowing, extremely goofy, and only using a very, very small portion of my brain. I heard statements like these. Look at me when you lie to me. No 14-year-old boy should have a $95 shirt unless he's on stage with his four brothers. You're afraid to try because you're afraid your brain is going to explode and it's going to ooze out of your ears. And the last of my favorite, I brought you in this world, I'll take you out. Now, these statements might seem harsh, but for those of you who have raised boys, they're spot on. Holly and I have three boys. My sister has three boys. These statements and parenting tactics are alive and well in our households. Right, boys? Mm-hmm. Right. I turned out just fine. So, thanks, Dad, for keeping me on track and not taking me out. Duke. Ah, yes, Duke. The man, the myth, the legend. He's Duke to Robert, Brian, Zach, Jackson, Jeremiah, Joseph, and now Dana, Stephanie, and Grayson. One of the greatest names ever given to a grandfather, in my most humble opinion. If Dad couldn't get the name Duke through me, he was going to get it any way possible. And as John Wayne put it, a man's got to do what a man's got to do. And he did. Duke was the quintessential grandfather. He would take our kids, he would have amazing adventures with Mom, fill them full of sugar, give them gifts, and then send them home to you, all while smiling and laughing as he watched you walk away, knowing the kind of night that you were about to have. He loved his grandkids and his great grandkid more than life itself. It gave him the chance to be a kid again and not to have to make any excuses about it. From overnights to traveling to eating to the most amazing Christmas celebrations ever, Duke made sure it was the best of the best. Thank you, Duke, for making sure your grandkids experience the true meaning of family and fun. Mr. Upton, okay, where do I even start here? It sounds so serious when you say that, Mr. Upton. When someone calls me Mr. Upton, I look around because I don't feel old enough or qualified enough to be called that. The title exudes respect and dignity. Growing up, we were taught to respect our elders, and that is exactly how Dad was treated by us and others. Many of you in this room addressed him by that name, and for that, I thank you. Whether he was a band dad, a neighbor, a deacon, or a friend, you saw the importance and need to treat him in a way that was honoring and dignified, even to his last days on this earth. Some of you I met for the first time just these past few weeks. Many of you came to visit because Mom and Dad are longstanding members of this church, and not because you even knew them well. It was important for you to serve someone in need, a quality we have all been called to. Galatians 5:13 says, "You, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh. Rather, serve one another humbly in love." Thank you to everyone here for serving Mom and Dad so faithfully and humbly these past few weeks. The kindness and respect shown went above and beyond what could ever be imagined. Cal. This is what his buddies called him. And I'm mostly talking about his golf buddies. What a bunch. Most of you know that Dad was an avid golfer and absolutely loved to play the game. That was as long as his score was low and he beat the guys he was playing with. If those things didn't happen, he'd come home and say, "I'm selling my clubs." But the next day, the clubs would be back in the car and he'd be on his way to the course. I've had the privilege of playing a time or two or many with a few of them. It was nothing but smiles and laughs and just downright fun. That is, unless I was the one sinking the birdie putt to win the huge purse for the hole, 25 cents. Then I was the sandbagger or heard things like, "Who invited the ringer?" These guys got over it, but I for sure got my quarter. So, Dad loved these guys to the end. They came to visit him and recall their goofy and funny stories and to remember all the good times that they had had together. Gentlemen, you loved and served him well, and for that and our family, we thank you. Saving the best for last, we come to Calvert. A son, a brother, an uncle, a cousin, and a husband. A faithful man married to his high school sweetheart for over 60 years. Dad set the bar high for me to follow in love, devotion, service, and respect of others. I could not have asked for a better example to follow. His desire to help and serve others provided me with the foundation of being the hands and feet of Jesus to those in need. Where did I learn this? Where did Dad learn this? Right here, on this very ground, in this very building, with many of the same people who are sitting here today. I've never seen Dad any happier than when Seven Run EP Church acquired the land and began to build this very building. He was here every day with friends, family, church members, pastors, and anyone willing to lend a helping hand to further God's kingdom right here in Anne Arundel County. He signed his name in the steeple that is right above us, with many of the others that are a part of this church, signifying the greatness and goodness of our Lord Jesus Christ. It wasn't about the land or the building or the religion. It was about a relationship with Jesus Christ. Dad wanted each of you to know that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. He hoped he had lived his life well, bringing glory to and reflecting Jesus in everything that he said and did. He wanted to finish the race and finish it strong, which we all know he did. If you don't have a relationship with Jesus, and you're wondering what that's about, we would love to talk to you about it. Please don't wait. Because of our faith in Jesus Christ, this isn't the end or goodbye between us and Dad. It's just see you later. we will meet again. Thank you for your love, your compassion, and your dedication to Dad and our family. We love you all dearly.
It's really beautiful from up here. On behalf of Mom and our entire family, we want to thank you all for being here today, for all of your love, for all of your support, and mostly for all of your prayers. You never know how much they have meant to us and how the Lord strengthened us through you. So we are so very grateful, and we love you dearly. It's been a joy over the last couple days, but especially today, to share memories and stories of Dad. And I feel like we could sit down every week for the next year or so, and that still wouldn't be enough time to share with you the man that our Dad was. But we're going to today, our prayer is to give you just a glimmer of the legacy that he left. And it's a legacy of hope. I want to share some intentional choices that Mom and Dad made in the last days. This isn't going to be like a golf story, like you hear what happened on every hole. Not that we don't love those. For all my dad's golf buddies, we love those. But this is just going to be a quick snapshot of some intimate details. My dad had a myriad of health issues over the last many years. But this last month, with his most recent diagnosis, he was told that there were no more treatment options. So as Mom and Dad drove home that day from the doctor's office, they looked at each other and they said, "Now what?" And then they said, "We're going to celebrate life." They made a conscious decision to live each day to the fullest, enjoying each other and God's blessings. They chose to live intentionally and to live to be present and not to live to die. They chose to worship Jesus in the midst of their sadness, and God met them right there, and he enabled them to enjoy one day at a time. They saw and they talked with many family members and many sweet friends, as many as possibly were able to. Precious memories were shared, some remembered, some blanks were filled in that were forgotten, and even some stories revealed or different endings than we were ever told. We're still kind of getting over that, but that's what therapy's for. But Dad did not deny himself or others the opportunity to laugh hard and cry deeply together, and it was wonderful. But most importantly, Dad had the opportunity to share his faith and the confidence that Jesus was calling him home. I heard him say on more than one occasion, "Yeah, I'm not really looking forward to the process, but I know where I'm going, and that brings me joy." Dad was open, and he was honest, and he was vulnerable. 2 weeks before he died, Dad was still in control, and he gathered all of us together, Mom and Jay and his family and ours, and he told us, he said, "I'm not afraid to die." He said, "Because I know when I take my last breath on this earth, my next will be in heaven with my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ." And he urged us to ponder our relationship with Jesus. And he did that because he loved us so much. Dad's heart's desire was and is to be with us in heaven for all eternity. So I look out today and I know that Dad will want to say the same thing to you. Dad knew and he believed that his current circumstances did not define him or identify him, nor were they his final destination. He leaned into Jesus, and he believed with his whole heart what we just sang. Because he, Jesus, lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because I know he holds the future. And life is worth the living just because he lives. Jesus Christ was my dad's refuge and his strength. Dad chose to keep trusting, and he risked living when it would have been easy to give up, because the resurrection is true. Dad didn't wait until he felt better, and he didn't wait until circumstances were different, but he lived courageously, and he continued to fight to find joy right in the middle of some really hard and painful health issues. God strengthened Dad's faith through these times, and even when the storms were raging, Dad was filled with peace and had an assurance of his salvation. Dad and Mom's place of safety was in the Lord. He carried them through each moment, no matter what happened around them, no matter what diagnosis hit them next, no matter how poorly Dad felt or what Mom had to do to care for Dad. They put their hope in Christ, and they found safety in him, their firm foundation. And even when they were weary in the middle of the battle, we watched God provide in mighty ways. He lifted their eyes, he encouraged their hearts, and he held them tightly in his arms. And I can tell you, it was a beautiful gift for us as his family and for all of those around him. Dad trusted in his Lord and Savior up to his very last breath, and he left this world beautifully, peaceful and calm. And I believe as we stood by his bedside that morning and we watched him gently breathe his last, God in his tender mercy gave Dad eyes to see his faithfulness, and he filled Dad's heart with joyful expectation. And we know without a shadow of a doubt that he is in heaven with Jesus. Dad knew that nothing in this world could satisfy, only Jesus. And the gift of eternal life is what brings us hope in the midst of our deep sorrow. I believe with my whole heart that Dad has never, ever been more alive than that moment on Saturday, November 5th at 7 a.m. when his faith became sight and he saw Jesus face to face. I'm abundantly grateful that he was my dad. I love him so. And I will always be his little girl. And because the gospel is true, I know I will see him again. I will miss him every day until I join him in glory. But I know, and my sweet brother and his and Holly, and my precious husband Bob and our dear kids, they feel the same way. But oh, what a peace we have knowing Dad is whole, and he is healthy, and he is singing and worshiping the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. So while we deeply, deeply are missing him, we have great hope, because our hope is Jesus. And Dad's hope was Jesus. So I want to ask you the same question that Dad asked us. Please ponder your relationship with Jesus Christ. It's the most important thing. Dad would love nothing more than to one day see each of us again and worship the Lord together for all eternity. Today, our loss is deep and our sorrow, it's heavy. But our hope is greater. It is the cross of Jesus that gives us reason to hope, to sing, to celebrate, and to live.
Jay, is there anyone else speaking this morning? No, okay, thank you. Let's all stand together, and you can open your bulletins to hymn number 2. We'll sing together, The Old Rugged Cross. Amen. You may be seated. We have a scripture reading from the Gospel of John, chapter 14, verses 1 through 19. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And where I go, you know, and the way you know. Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you are going, and how can we know the way? Jesus said to him, I am the way, truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also, and from now on you know him and have seen him. Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father, and it is sufficient for us. Jesus said to him, Here I have been with you so long, and yet you have not known me, Philip. He who has seen me has seen the Father. So how can you say, show us the Father? Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father in me? The words that I speak to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does the work. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the sake of the works themselves. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also, and greater works than these he will do, because I go to my Father. And whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. If you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. A little while longer, and the world will see me no more, but you will see me. Because I live, you will live also. Amen. Thank you. Thank you, family. It is my privilege to be able to speak this morning. In times like this, I find that sometimes we exaggerate about who the person was. It seems to be the nature of a eulogy. But you didn't exaggerate. That is who your father is, and it is his heart. So may God bless you. The scripture reading this morning and the homily will be based upon what you see actually on the front of your bulletin. It is 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3, and we'll just touch on that one verse. And here it is. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Judging by the bulletin cover, the fact that this is on the front, leading us into our time together, there's a kind of obvious significance to the Upton family. In fact, we've heard it, a repeated theme with variations through all the songs and the speaking from the family. I was wondering as I was meditating on the verse, kind of breaking it into its pieces like a pastor does, I wonder which part of the passage was the most dear to them. But then it didn't take me much time to remember who the family is, and I'm sure they love the whole package. They want all the pieces and more. You should notice when you look at the passage, for example, that it's really about praising God. Right in the beginning, it's blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And the wording indicates, and I almost started to do it myself, but the blessed be, it indicates that we're supposed to already be moving towards singing, maybe in the form of a kind of doxology. And I just want to ask you first off, can you imagine being so moved by somebody in your life that you had to sing about them to other people? Because that's what's going on in front of us here with this passage, is that at least the Apostle Peter is so moved by who God is that he has to break into song. Normal human speech is not even appropriate. What about God would cause a person to sing? We cannot list all of God's wonders. We cannot list all of the songs that are about him. But we do have a few descriptions about what was on Peter's mind and heart here. If you look again at the front of the bulletin, God is praised for his abundant mercy. It says, and this is not Peter's giving a kind of hat tip to the casual compassion of God. This, you may not reduce this section to, blessed be God, he was a swell guy. God's mercy here is an ancient mercy which he promised to have upon mankind. It's that big. It goes to the depths. Hold your breath. Try to swim down as far as you can go. And this wisdom and mercy is still further. It is from the heart of God. Have you noticed, I wonder, that humanity is having a bit of a tough time right now? Does it seem to you that perhaps the human race has lost its way? Everyone is asking in their hearts, is there any hope? Will the clouds part? Will I feel the warmth of the sun on my face again? And the answer, at least here, according to Peter, is, well, yes. Because in the midst of all of it, and Peter well knows about the condition of the human race, in the midst of it all, Peter is singing, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ for his abundant mercy. And of course, the song doesn't stop there. There's many verses, actually. This is just a kind of summary. The ancient mercy from the deep mines of God's wisdom and love take form, if you keep looking at the bulletin, in the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. And furthermore, Christ's resurrection to power and glory take the form again in humanity, being reformed or remade, or it says, begotten again. And now humanity is given new horizons because of the hope of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Now that's all a bit theological, and we're still kind of waking up. It's been put way more simply in song, and even with the repetitions of the Upton family. It is the same message on the front of your bulletin, and it goes like this. God sent his son. They called him Jesus. He came to love, heal, and forgive. He bled and died to buy my pardon. An empty grave is there to prove my Savior lives. And because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because I know he holds the future. And life is worth the living, just because he lives. Now there's more words here, and this is from the Gaithers, but it's the same heart as what we see on the front of that bulletin. When I was repeating those words, and as they've been repeated throughout the time here, I wonder if any of you could hear Calvert singing them. And especially with that second verse, holding the baby. I remember those times. This is significant to note that he was singing them, because now in your midst, even in the midst of the human condition, we have at least two people singing, Peter and Calvert. And it appears that they're both singing about the same discovery, that the Apostle Peter and Calvert all these days have been singing because they both have discovered the abundant mercy of God. They know what it means, the significance that God the Father has a Son who has been raised and has ascended on high at the right hand of the Father and has sent his Spirit. And just like Peter, the only way that Calvert could talk about this was in song. How appropriate. I wonder, as we think about starting with just these two men, one an apostle and one a congregant member, I wonder if we can start to spread it out a little bit. Since you are a human also, I wonder if you have some things to sing about. I wonder if you have a song. Actually, I want to pose the question more pointedly. I wonder if you would have something to sing about as you face death. I want you to keep an image in your mind that goes beyond this room and beyond the words I speak here this morning. When you step outside after the service and you feel that crisp, cold air, I want you to look around. When you're driving to the graveside or to the reception or just on your way home, I want you to notice the autumn foliage on the trees, the changed colors of the leaves, and I want you to notice, most importantly, that though all the leaves have not fallen off the trees, some of the leaves have. And I want you to think about that as a picture of what we are here witnessing today. Our dear Calvert is a leaf who has fallen from the autumn tree of our lives. And we know that once one leaf falls, it will soon be time for the other leaves. They follow due to the season, and it will be soon ahead. I don't care if you're sitting here and you're 8 years old. It will be sooner than you think. When you face your falling as a leaf on the tree, will you have a hopeful song to sing that is based in reality and not upon a sentimental fiction. Oh, that you would know the mercy of God the Father in the resurrection and the glory of the Son. May the Lord place a song in your heart and mouth, and I pray that you would gather some others along and you'd have a little chorus with Calvert and Peter. I have just a few more words to say. I want to direct them especially to the Upton family. The first is a kind of final word, and then it's charge is too strong, Betty. I don't feel the right to charge you. Just an encouragement towards you. The first word I'd like to say, Betty, is thank you so much for being an example of what it means to be a woman and a wife. We thank you for letting us see Jesus Christ through your actions towards your husband. And we honor you here today. The other word I have to say is that it brings great joy to my heart to know that Calvert has sung the final stanza. And then one day, I'll cross the river, and I'll fight life's final war with pain. And then as death gives way to victory, I'll see the lights of glory, and I'll know he reigns. He sings that more than ever. And he sees it. And my encouragement is quite simple and in line with the rest of the themes today. Upton family, keep singing. Betty, you must keep the song in your heart and in your home. For the risen Christ holds your future, and life is worth the living just because he lives. Amen. Amen. Please pray with me. God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, you have in fact been abundantly merciful to us in sending your Son, raising him from the dead, placing him at your right hand, and giving him all authority in heaven and earth. And we thank you, Lord Jesus Christ, for sending your Spirit to earth to change things, to give us something good to sing about, to have joy, even in the midst of the loss of our loved ones. I pray, Lord Jesus Christ, that your word would go out and it would find hearts to inhabit this morning. We thank you, Lord, for the life of your servant, Calvert. We thank you that you have taken him into the estate of glory, no longer able to sin, no longer able to die. We thank you, Lord, for his yet continued hope of being reunited with an incorruptible body and to enjoy you forever. We thank you for making this all possible in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. You now have something to sing about. Let's stand together and sing Victory in Jesus.
Glory, and kings I fought.
amen loud enough. Amen. All right, let's go with it. You need to announce the family up first.
Yeah, please.
Okay, as I move to the benediction, I would ask that you remain standing for the casket to be removed from the church and for the family to exit and then exit to follow. So please remain standing and receive the blessing of and benediction of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, communion, and fellowship of his Holy Spirit be and abide with you, beloved of God, as you go forth to celebrate the life that you remember and the life yet to be lived. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ.